Thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. I'm Melanie Cogdill, Managing Editor of the Christian Research Journal. It's November 2022, and this is episode 316, which is the conversation about Christmas and the holidays, and we're talking particularly about St. Nicholas Day, Santa, the film It's a Wonderful Life, Charles Dickens' classic A Christmas Carol, and Jesus. Today's guest is Anne Kennedy. She has an MDiv and is the author of the book Nailed It, 365 Readings for Angry or Worn Out People. Anne blogs about current events and theological trends at standfirminfaith.org. Anne has written an online exclusive feature viewpoint article for the Christian Research Journal, and her article is called Take Joy, Santa, St. Nicholas, and Jesus. Now, our viewpoint column articles address relevant contemporary issues in discernment, apologetics, and cultural apologetics from a particular perspective that's not usually shared by all Christians. Now, we hope that the intended result is that Christian thinking on an issue is stimulated and enhanced whether or not our readers or listeners end up agreeing with the author. So our subscribers can read Anne's article for free at our website, equip.org. If you don't already subscribe and you want to read this very provocative article, please go to our website, equip.org, and a subscription is $33.50. Anne, it's good to have you on again.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about St. Nicholas Day, which might be something that a lot of evangelical Christians haven't heard about before. It is observed in some Protestant traditions like Anglicanism, as well as in, for example, Eastern Orthodox tradition. And so a lot of people don't realize in the church calendar that this is something that was observed. But we're going to go and kind of address everything around how do you communicate the truths of Christmas or have Christmas traditions, given just the major, I think, emphasis in the West, specifically in America, with Santa Claus and the elves and the North Pole and writing letters to Santa, have you been naughty or nice, and those kinds of things that kids hear about from friends in the neighborhood or at school. And then also just what about Christ and focusing on Christ at Christmas? And so this might be a very provocative discussion because I know Christian parents have a lot of strong opinions, maybe based on traditions that they had growing up. So maybe I'll just start by asking Anne, what is kind of the controversy or the debate for Christian parents about even the idea of Santa Claus at all or anything? Even if he was, you know, there was St. Nicholas that was historical, some people are just saying, no, we should never do anything like that because it's really not focusing on God or giving him the glory.
You're right. I didn't grow up, well, I did grow up in an evangelical world for the most part, but I didn't really realize what a controversial subject this was until I, in the last few years, spent a little more time online and, you know, was reading. And you're right. People are prepared to draw a pretty sharp line between a Christian celebration of Christmas and sort of a pagan one. And I can understand why they would do that, because the world that we live in is getting to be more and more pagan. Most people, like in my neighborhood, you know, don't have any problem with Santa, but they would have a really big problem with Jesus. And so I think in reaction to that, many Christians are saying, well, we should not have Santa or any part of the pagan world, and we should concentrate on Jesus. And I read a number of articles this week that made that point. One was you really have to make a choice between the two. And why on earth would you choose Santa? That's obviously a very bad choice if you're trying to make one. It seems like people are afraid of that if you indulge in the idea of Santa at all. There are two things that are going wrong. One, you're lying to your children because obviously Santa is not a real person. And two, you are directing the focus off of Christ and onto somebody who is increasingly, well, it's a mythical figure, but who increasingly represents a consumerist culture where there is no transcendence and there's nothing beyond the presents you get that day. The extremity of that view is more and more apparent as in my neighborhood, people put up, some people I could see in their windows put Christmas trees up like the day after Halloween instead of the day after Thanksgiving. So people are sort of all the way in for this idea of Christmas being that you get a lot of presents and that's basically it. Have a big meal. That's all there is. So I can see absolutely why Christians would be super wary of that and not want to participate in that kind of festival at all. But on the other side of that, well, I'm going to out myself as a person who, you know, did Santa for my young kids, if that's how you say it, and St. Nicholas and everything. I don't think that Christians have to make a choice. I do think in our, you know, increasingly secular pagan world, we need to be careful about how we might talk about somebody like Santa. I think we're going to get into that as we go, but I do think it's possible to be a Christian family who says that Santa Claus comes on Christmas Eve. And I don't think that puts you beyond the pale of orthodoxy, unless you do it maybe without mentioning Jesus ever. That would definitely be a big, big problem.
Well, I did want to talk about it because my kids are grown now, but when they were young, I was probably in the atheist Santa category and we did not do Santa at all. And I don't know if I even have the ubiquitous, you know, on the Santa's knee photo. I do know they might have had a Santa in neighborhood one time and all the neighbors were going. So I did that. But there are no pictures of my kids with Santa and those kinds of things. And we'd walk by that in the mall and I'd explain how Santa didn't exist and all this. And so I didn't realize how many Christians actually did participate in it until my oldest went to Christian school and started telling people on Christmas that Santa didn't exist. And of course, I incurred the wrath of many of the mothers. So every year it was like, don't tell anybody that Santa's not real kind of a thing, which could have been extreme, I guess. And, you know, we don't have that many Santa things in terms of decorations over the years, but it's not like we don't have any, but we just really didn't focus on that. And so I didn't realize that this is something that Christian parents really do wrestle with, especially the younger Christian parents that they're starting a family and they, you know, have a bunch of toddlers and preschoolers and how do they handle Christmas? Because as you said, there's really a consumer kind of model that's been attached to it in the United States. So you pretty much can't go anywhere in a store where Santa is not around pictures or they're advertising where you go to the mall and you see that Santa's there and the little children. So it just brings up questions about what to do with Santa. So with that in mind, I'd like to ask you a little bit about the difference, like you just mentioned, St. Nicholas, you know, Father Christmas, Santa Claus, and all the different origins of those kind of, you know, they've almost taken on a mythic status because it has been so tied to some of the consumer things or some of the, you know, Santa Claus, like I mentioned earlier, the North Pole and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Santa's elves and all those kinds of things. So what are those differences and where do they come from?
Well, so there are such differing accounts of how these various myths came together that I'm pretty sure that whatever I say right now, people are going to disagree with and probably have maybe evidence that I missed as I was reading. But at least for me growing up, but also as I've read, I'd say there are three main possibilities for Christmas sort of time celebrations or that have historically come through the West. So the first one, of course, is Saint Nicholas. And he was a saint, an actual person who was at the Council of Nicaea. He was the Bishop of Myra. He was a godly and faithful bishop who stood up against heresy and was really compassionate and generous. And there's a lot of interesting accounts about his actual generosity and the way that he cared for his flock as a bishop. Well, he was a really good pastor. So his feast day in the Western Church is on December 6th. And many Christians around the world, I mean, including me, have celebrated St. Nicholas Day on the 6th with a variety of fun things for children. You can leave your shoes out, and chocolate and oranges will be there in the morning. And in our church, St. Nicholas does come the Sunday before St. Nicholas Day, or if it's as close to, somebody appears in our congregation wearing a big bishop's hat and passes out chocolates and oranges. And what I love about that is the children never recognize who that is, even when it's somebody they see every Sunday. So that's super fun. That figure, St. Nicholas, in some cases, many people feel morphed into Santa Claus. And I've seen that account in various different places, that St. Nicholas is basically the proto Santa Claus, and that the date just moved to Christmas. But other places I read said that really the English Father Christmas figure, or Lord Christmas, comes from Norse mythology and was sort of the spirit, or the spirit of Christmas, not the personification of Christmas. But there's through the English Middle Ages, there was a sort of a person, or, you know, they talked about Father Christmas, and he was a sort of a fairy or some kind of version of Woden, maybe. And that was not about getting presents. That was about drinking a lot of, you know, Yule or whatever, and being jolly and singing carols. Although I just read something today that said that Henry VIII, actually, that the English Christians did have St. Nicholas, but that Henry VIII tried to suppress that observing of that feast day and sort of replaced St. Nicholas with Lord Christmas or Father Christmas. I'm not sure. I read two opposite accounts on that question. And but Father Christmas for the English was, again, this sort of mythical fairy in the Tolkien sense of fairy, not like a little tiny fairy, but the sort of world that Tolkien built. I think Father Christmas would fit very well into that kind of space. You've got Saint Nicholas. I don't know that they're competing necessarily, but, you know, Christmas was not a big deal in England, especially until more towards the Victorian period, the modern period. And so we really can thank two things for Santa Claus, the modern iteration of whatever amalgamation of these two figures that we have. You can thank Queen Victoria, who made a big deal about Christmas and brought a Christmas tree to England for the first time, and the presents and making it more about children than before. I think it was before that a very adult kind of holiday where people would party, children would be sent to bed. It wasn't a child-focused holiday. But then the way that Santa Claus came into the American landscape was Dutch people in New York who tried to resurrect an observation of St. Nicholas Day and make a bigger deal about it and make St. Nicholas the patron saint of New York City. And then, there was the poem, which became The Night Before Christmas. That's really where, for Americans, the idea of Santa, not Father Christmas, not Saint Nicholas, neither of them really, but Santa coming down your chimney, giving you presents. And from there to Coca-Cola, you get the picture that we have in most malls of a jolly, red suited fat man, giving candy to children and making them cry, as far as I can tell. I never took my children to see Santa in the mall because I found him personally scary. So we did a sort of mashup of Saint Nicholas and Father Christmas. And, you know, sometimes we called him Santa, sometimes we didn't.
It's holiday time, and it's time to think about giving gifts to family and friends. And I think the Christian Research Journal makes a very unique gift. For $33.50, they will get the print edition to their door, as well as access to all of our online exclusive feature articles, film reviews, television series reviews, and book reviews. And I think we do a good job of keeping up on the latest pop culture trends, where we can give a biblical perspective to some of the hottest new things that are happening, anything from self-care to a really hot series like last year's Squid Game. And I think this would make a great, encouraging gift for your pastor or for a church staff member, because frankly, with all the ministry that they have to do with church, it's hard for them to stay up and have to watch the latest television series. But I'm sure, for example, youth ministry staff might get questions from parents. Well, is it okay for my kid to watch Squid Game? Well, we've already watched that for you. We've given some in-depth biblical analysis of it, and that I think would be very encouraging to your church staff member. Plus, you can tell them about the Christian Research Journal's Postmodern Realities podcast, so they can download that and listen to that for free every week, as well as they can, if they prefer it written, they can have that exclusive online access, which is under paywall for our subscribers. So I think it makes a great gift. Now, we really appreciate you partnering with us, and maybe you're going to get some Christmas money and you would want to get a gift subscription for yourself. I mean, just a subscription for yourself. That would be one thing you could do. And the other thing is just partner with us. I really appreciate it if you just tell a friend about the podcast and about our website, equip.org, where there's literally thousands of journal articles up there for them to be equipped by, as well as, you know, it would really help us out with the algorithm online, because the more people that rate and review something, the more that the algorithm thinks, ooh, this is interesting. Maybe somebody else would be interested in this. Just go head on over to Apple Podcasts, which is really the place where you can do podcast reviews the best for the algorithm for the internet. And if you go on there, a starred review just literally takes like a few seconds. But even better yet, if you could spare a minute or so and just write out a sentence about why you enjoy listening to this podcast and appreciate the content in the Christian Research Journal, that would be great. If a subscription or gift subscription is not in your budget, we're always grateful for tips. You can tip us to help us keep bringing you this free content. It's easy to do. Go to equip.org, click on Journal, click on Postmodern Realities Podcast, and there's a link at every single one of the episode landing pages. And so thanks for thinking about us and making us part of your holiday gift giving, as well as just getting the word out about our content. You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast, brought to you by the Christian Research Institute. Well, what are some of the modern traditions associated with Santa Claus, and where do they come from? I typically think of parents, I don't know, threatening is the right word in terms of discipline, but like, you know, are you being naughty or nice? Or when Santa looks, have you been good more than you've been bad? And that's another reason why some Christians are against Santa, although mine was more like Santa's not a real person. And, you know, Santa Claus from the North Pole is not a real person back in the day when my kids were young. But what about those kinds of things and writing letters to Santa? And so if we write a letter to Santa and we put it in the mailbox, which, by the way, the USPS does accept, you know, maybe you can get whatever you're looking for, or kind of like this, not omniscience, but it's like Santa knows everything, so he can see you and what you're doing. And also you can go to the mall and sit on his lap. And then if you tell him all the things that you want, that's what you'll get from him at Christmas. I mean, some of the most famous Hollywood Christmas movies, you know, everyone remembers The Christmas Story with the Red Ryder BB gun. So what kids want, they will receive from Santa. So where did some of those different kind of traditions or myths about Santa that people do with their kids at Christmas? What are the origins of those?
Those seem to be very much part of this, you know, in the last century, that the poem particularly that became, it wasn't originally called The Night Before Christmas, but that's what we all know it as. And the Santa coming and putting presents in your stocking and being able to know everything that you think, which again, I do find incredibly creepy. It's bad enough when God is omniscient. You know, I think we take that for granted. Like, oh, if God knows you, you're rising up and you're going down, and this time forth forevermore, we think that's comforting, and it should be, unless, you know, you don't accept that he's God. So I always think, you know, Psalm 139 is either really, really comforting or really scary, depending on your relationship with God. So there is some overlap for sure in the omniscience of Santa versus the omniscience of God, or and the retributive Santa, that if you're good, you get presents, and if you're bad, you get coal. And that's a whole mixture of sort of myths and traditions that came out of Europe. There's, you know, in Germany, the Christkindl, Christ child himself came and gave presents to children. And there was the sort of demon Krampus Santa person who would beat children if they were bad. And so there's some sort of fairy myths through Europe, including St. Nicholas, who was said to have paid the dowries of you know, poor young girls who couldn't afford to get married, and threw bags of gold through people's windows. All those myths sort of came together, and I think they were the perfect storm for the Victorian period to and the Industrial Revolution to have a holiday that was particularly associated with childhood and toys and consumerism, and but you could make it into sort of a spiritual thing where your goodness or badness was relatively known to the world by what you got in your stocking. Although, I mean, of course, children just get presents, even if they're bad. Nobody actually doesn't give them anything if they're bad, which I think, you know, if you really don't know how to discipline your children, maybe you could try not giving them anything at Christmas and see what happens. I wouldn't be bold enough to do that. So the way that it's played out in America is like many things in American life, where they were sort of charming and it was fun. You know, I love the Christmas Story movie. I think it's childhood at its best and most terrible at the same time, but it just has gotten swallowed up in our general move towards consumerism and individuality. There's two things go together and have seemed to swallow up so many cultural traditions that we've had that could have been harmless and fun and that are now indicative of the spiritual decay that we're suffering as a community.
I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that various Christian traditions that are more liturgical observe St. Nicholas Day. So in the West, with Anglicans, Roman Catholics, and Lutherans, it's earlier in the month. And then in the East, with the Eastern Orthodox, their St. Nicholas Day is December 19. So how have Christians historically engaged with these various figures, whether it's, you know, Father Christmas that you were talking about, or St. Nicholas, or, you know, we kind of covered the controversy over Santa Claus, but it does sound like a lot of Christians, including yourself, did opt to do some modified version of that.
I think through European history, there probably wasn't very much controversy until I think that Puritans obviously had a huge problem with St. Nicholas, with the English Reformation had a big problem with saints and the veneration of saints. And so I think certainly at that point, it would have become very controversial or maybe problematic for some Christians to engage in Christmas kind of traditions that involved maybe what felt like pagan roots. But I think for the most part, across Europe, Christian people celebrated St. Nicholas Day as a fun thing with children putting their shoes out and getting chocolates in them and maybe a really nice meal. And in Holland, they added the element of a very, very not PC problematic element of Black Peter, who was St. Sinterklaas's sidekick. It's interesting reading about Europe and Christmas is that the number of dark elements that creep in and are held side by side with Christian tradition. I think most people didn't have too much problem or too much trouble having Jesus and going to church and the Christian festival and then bringing alongside a lot of other little traditions and fun things and maybe scary things. And that's part of the business of being human, is that we manage to hold things together that are not maybe suited to be together. So it kind of depends on what kind of categories you put them in. You get an immense number of category errors as you approach Christmas. But I think it was possible through till the modern period to have traditions and meals and sort of myths about the spiritual world and still worship Christ and not feel a spiritual disconnection or dissonance between those two things.
It seems to me, though, that the current, discourse now in modern America around Santa or St. Nicholas is very different than that. I think so many Christians feel like it's a stark choice. If you are leaving out plates of cookies for Santa, then you're rejecting the truth of the gospel and the incarnation of Christ. You're not focusing your children on the incarnation and you're getting them to hope Santa will eat the cookies, which, he can't come down chimneys because there's no such thing, right? Kind of a thing. It just seems that there's a different discourse now in the church or among Christians, or at least evangelicals, I would say, as opposed to other Christians that might be in some more liturgical traditions that still keep all kinds of different days within the church calendar. I mean, most Christians now, the majority of people who call themselves Christians in the United States are probably more in the broad evangelical, non-liturgical column that go to mega churches or very contemporary churches, and there's no liturgical calendar following there. So it seems that there's just more of a drawn line on this subject.
That is true. It's interesting to see, because I would say as a Anglican, a lot of the traditions that people have that maybe don't include Santa but are a big part of evangelicalism. Like, I was just noticing on Twitter that because Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, there's an ongoing debate about whether or not Christians should have to go to church on Christmas Day. So this is one maybe cultural divide within evangelicalism, is that I would say going to church on Christmas Day is non-negotiable. That's the way that you put Christ into Christmas, is by going to church on one of his most holy feast days and celebrating who he is. And then everything else sort of is extraneous to that. There's a lot of fun things. There's a lot of sort of fun jokes. If you're the kind of person who, if you're going to have quote Santa come and the children leave cookies out for Santa, there's different ways of doing that. You can do it in a very serious manner, as if you personally really believe that Santa is a real person who will come down your chimney. Or you can do it with sort of a wink and a joke. Like, my children would often say, is Santa real? And I would say, I have no idea. Why don't you go ask your father? Go ask your friends if he's real. And you joke along. You would say about things that are mysterious and fun in childhood. Of course, you tell children stories because it fuels their imagination. It fills out the furniture of their world and the way that they think about things. So I would say to parents who would never want to countenance a mythical figure like Santa, well, what do you do when you read fictional books? What do you say about Aslan? And of course, there are Christians who think that it's wicked to read Narnia books because it includes magic. I'd say that's probably on the farther limit, but Aslan is a mythical figure and we can tell stories about him, but he can be a sort of a type or a figure of someone who shows you a deep truth about who God is. And I think that Santa or Saint Nicholas can be that kind of figure, or he can be a figure that draws you away and tells you lies about the universe, about what you're owed, about working for your salvation. So there's different ways to interact with the myth. And, but that's a sort of extraneous conversation to say, well, how do you put Christ into Christmas in a world that has deliberately and painstakingly removed Christ from Christmas? How do you as a Christian put Christ into Christmas? Is it by taking Santa completely out? Or is it by totally reorienting your life around the community that worships Christ? That's the church. The very least you could do is go to church then with a community of believers on the day when Christ was said to have been born, or at least we remember that he was born. He was probably not born on that day, but we know that he was born. We know he was a real person, and we don't have to joke about that, but we can have an immense amount of joy at the same time. So I think it's your posture towards feasting and your posture towards the church is going to clarify some of the thornier issues about Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas or Father Christmas.
I just want to let our listeners know we have over the years published articles about fairy tales and fantasy. Is there such a thing as good fantasy? Why would we interact with fiction? And we do a lot of cultural apologetics on this podcast with some of our online exclusive articles. And I wish I had had this conversation when I was a young mom, because I'm somebody who, of course, introduced my kids to Narnia, loved, you know, there's a lot of good things in the traditional, like Hans Christian Andersen type of fairy tales that we know about. And there are really great things to expose your kids to. At the same time, you know, way back when, I wouldn't expose my kids to Santa. And I think because of that, they just, all those classic Santa films like Elf. I mean, my kids just, when they're little, rolled their eyes. And now that they're, you know, older, I don't know that they care to see those. I think that's what you kind of, what would end up happening, I think, if you took my tact with young kids today. But I think parents would want to know, well, how practically would I include Saint Nicholas or even Santa, even if it's like a joke? I would say, though, we wouldn't say these people are evil, they do Santa. We would just say it's a game. It's a game that people like to play with their kids at Christmas. So a lot of people play this game. You know, it's really their parents putting out the presents, not Santa, but it's a game. I mean, we didn't say that they were bad for doing it in their homes. But, you know, how do you include elements of Saint Nicholas or Santa and still really focus on scripture and the incarnation? And I do agree with you that Americans have such rooted family traditions of Christmas. Like, we all go over to grandma's and we all have, you know, we open presents first at our house, and then we go to grandma's and we open presents there, and then we have this big Christmas brunch. And people are just balking at the fact of it's going to interfere with us and our tradition because we might have to go to church. So maybe we'll just all stream church. I mean, it seems like church at Christmas in 2022 is very it's really ruining what most Christians celebrate as Christmas as a family time. So those are kind of two questions, like how should people even be thinking about this, and how do we address it with our families who, you know, would be like, why are you going to church? You can just stream it and then we can all have our family brunch together type of a thing, as well as how do we incorporate some of these things into family practice while still focusing on Christ?
I sort of love that this is an issue, because I think it actually exposes the the stuff at our core and what we really think. So, I mean, I've heard over the last couple of years, a lot of people saying, well, focus on the family was wrong. We should have always focused on Christ. You know, not that people who did, who benefited from the organization book Focus on the Family, that, I mean, that they did a lot of wonderful work, but just the idea of focusing on the family, I think whether they wanted to or not, American Christians imbibed that deeply. And the family as the center of your spiritual life really became a rooted concept for most, many, many people. And I would say that's just been not great, because also now our families are in disarray. So, and the outward and spiritual sign of that is the fact that people don't know what to do on Christmas when Christmas falls on a Sunday. Well, you know, every other Sunday of the year, you have to go to church. So, one or the other thing is going to have to give. And so I would, you know, whatever you think about Santa, that's very much secondary to how you conceive of how Christ comes into the world. So I would say, you know, one way to practically engage with mythical figures like Santa or Saint Nicholas is to absolutely reorient your family around the church and let the Christ be the sovereign over your time and over your family. And then the fun things that you can do with Santa, you know, or Saint Nicholas coming and leaving chocolates, all of those things can become a picture of God's grace and generosity and the free gift of eternal life. I mean, children know in a deep way, I think more than many adults do, that God is real and that he cares for them. The duty of the Christian parent is to say the person who, the God is Jesus. You name God for your child and say, that's Jesus who loves you, and he's your shepherd, and he gives you everything that you need. And so the great feast of Christmas or Saint Nicholas flows out of that incredible mercy and grace. And then all the presents arrive from his good hand. Maybe they come through, you know, the mythical person of Santa, but you know that they really come from God, because he is the person who orders the cosmos and loves you. That can be your posture. Whether or not you have Santa or not is very secondary to how you orient yourself towards the mercy and grace of Christ coming into the world. I think Christians should go to church on Christmas Day, even if Christmas Day is a Thursday. But that's probably a too controversial for 2022. But I think if it wrecks your family time, I would say go for it. Like, make a bold stand. Go to church with your family, even if it causes fights with grandma, because people could probably learn to be a little bit flexible and maybe get some new traditions. It's been 100 years of, you know, one kind of Santa. Maybe we could have a new kind of celebration at Christmas. These don't have to be fixed. They can be dynamic.
I think if there are young parents, in other words, not age-wise, but they're a young family, their kids are young, because I know some Christians are putting off having kids until, you know, maybe their 40s, but they're new parents and they have toddlers. How are practical considerations when we think about celebrating Christmas, especially for the really little ones up through elementary school and things like that? How did you guys do that as a family? Because I'm not sure if our listeners know, Anne has quite a few children. She has more than 4 children. So how did you guys do that? And what were some practical things? Because I think that's some of the things that people are wondering. How do I practically do this so that, you know, my kids can really pause and not just be waiting till they can open, you know, the presents, because that's what they really care about, is all the presents on Christmas Day, the gifts, and how can we have those focuses on Christ? And I agree with you. I think it would be super controversial, but I'm not sure why the Christian church of all in America, I would say, why we went away from that real focus where, you know, you would go to church on Christmas Day. I don't know why we wouldn't, but of course, it is controversial, if it's even controversial now, because it falls on a Sunday and people think it shouldn't be a normal Sunday. It should be my Christmas tradition Sunday. So, you know, I agree with you there. But what are some practical things that we can do with our kids? And then if our kids are used to having presents all the time, every Christmas, and we go to grandma's house, and you said, well, it's going to cause some division in families, how do people who are devoutly following Christ, you know, navigate that when, and how do they explain it with their kids? We're like, this year, we're not going to go to grandma's house until after church. You know, how do we, you know, and they're like, well, we always go to grandma's house and have brunch. You know, how do we communicate that with our, especially our littler kids?
Well, I would say the first thing is that my husband and I, the first thing I would do, which I know because we didn't do it, is that I would, if you're engaged to be married or you're expecting a child and you haven't talked about it, is I would have those conversations before you have children. We didn't have any conversations with each other before we had children. And so we had very opposite ideas about what Christmas should look like. I grew up in a very kind of spare Christmas world where it was a church celebration, and we celebrated St. Nicholas Day, but I grew up on the mission field, so we did not have the opportunity of filling our house with presents. We had to make things by hand, and we had to spend all day at church even if we didn't want to, because that's what Christians did where I grew up. So my husband grew up in the very American, Santa comes, fake snow. Everybody keeps saying that Santa exists even when all the children are 35. Nobody ever would say that Santa doesn't exist. So when Matt, my husband, is asked, does Santa exist? He says, I mean, I think so. Nobody's like officially told me that he doesn't exist. So he loves Christmas so much, and it should be a time of voluble joy. So we didn't talk about it. And we had, you know, some hissing fights over the heads of our little toddlers when we were really young, trying to figure out what our own family tradition was going to be. So my first recommendation is get on the same page with each other about what to do. And the second thing I would say is make some new traditions for yourselves, because you are going to have you're going to have different ideas. People are all over the place on this question. And it's not so much, I would say, it doesn't matter so much where you land, as that you agree with each other about the goodness of what it is. And you should keep fighting until you can get to that same place. And what we've landed on, which has actually turned out to be really wonderful, is that I get to have St. Nicholas Day, and I make a big deal about it. St. Nicholas comes, my children still leave their shoes out even though they're teenagers, and I give them something really special on that day that they would never normally get for Christmas or any time of year. And then we have a really nice meal together, and St. Nicholas comes to church on a Sunday in the middle of worship and hands out chocolates and oranges to all the children. But Santa doesn't come to our church on Sunday. That's not a, he doesn't appear any other, Santa doesn't appear at our church for any reason. So if you want to see Santa, you have to go to a mall. But then we told our children, because my husband didn't want to give up Santa, that St. Nicholas was a real person who was let out of heaven, December 5th. And we kind of chuckled while we said it, and they were like, what? We were like, yeah, you know, you can't leave heaven, but just one time a year, sure. And then we said that Santa was a big fat fairy, and, you know, we don't have any control over him. We have no idea who he is. He just appears. So we kind of made up new stories for ourselves. But then it didn't matter, because we go to church on Christmas Eve for several hours and have a big celebration, and we go to church on Christmas Day. So the shape of our Christmas isn't about the presents. That's just really great icing for a feast that has begun in the beginning of Advent. We begin to prepare for Christmas. We have 4 weeks of preparation. We have St. Nicholas Day, St. Lucy's Day. We have our Advent candles, and there's no Christmas music in our house before Christmas Eve. And we decorate our house very late, but we build in anticipation towards the feast of Christmas, which includes presents and fun and joy. And but it is really oriented around a lot of church, which is also how Easter is. That's how we, you know, nobody would notice the Easter bunny at our house because we've been in church for an entire week leading up to that. So we don't have to, there's not a lot of emotional room for Santa to squeeze in. I mean, he does, but nobody has a lot of time for him because we've spent so much time thinking about the nativity and, you know, the salvation of the world through Christ. So that sort of happened accidentally as we negotiated with each other, and we just tried to survive the Christmas season. And it's turned out to be really, you know, wonderful because we're not fasting from, we're not denying anything in the world that people love. We don't have to get into fights with people about Santa, you know, because that's fine. Everybody can do what they like. But we are so caught up in our church festivities that we don't have to be defensive about what other people are doing. And I feel like that's been really gracious. It definitely happened by accident. If people did it on purpose, I feel like it would even be better. But I do think as Christians engage with a secular and an increasingly pagan world where people really do believe in spirits and, you know, Woden, there's like a growing emergence of people who are actually worshiping Norse gods and Greek gods as if they're real. We don't have to be defensive or afraid. What the way to combat the secularism of the world and the paganism of the world is to have a better feast, to have more joy, to have better and more complete celebrations that include the beautiful things and beautiful music and giving gifts and generosity. As an aside, one thing, and this is very controversial. If you think going to church on Sunday is controversial, I'm going to say something that will get me canceled. I think the prevailing myth for Christians in the West has become Charles Dickens' The Christmas Carol. And that book, it doesn't have Santa, but it has a very moralistic, therapeutic, deist view of Christmas and legalistic that I think Christians have imbibed deeply. And that's that if they're not generous, God, they're bad people. God won't love them. That sits deep at the heart of Christians in America. And I would say that that's worse than believing in Santa because it's more insidious and it's more, it's harder to overcome. And it makes Christ into somebody who's not the bringer of all good gifts.
Well, that's a lot of food for thought. So on a much lighter note, I will ask Han, what does your family eat for Christmas dinner? What is the normal traditional food that you eat? Are you folks turkey or ham or something else?
We go back and forth between roasting a goose in the old-fashioned way or doing roast beef with Yorkshire pudding. So we kind of go in on the all English motif, and then we usually have a trifle or a Christmas pudding for Christmas Day.
Well, thanks, Anne, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to episode 316 of the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest was Anne Kennedy. She has written a feature-length viewpoint article entitled Take Joy, Santa, Saint Nicholas, and Jesus. Our subscribers can read her article for free at our website, equip.org. For those who would like to read this provocative article that have not already subscribed, please go to equip.org to subscribe for $33.50, which means you will get access to all of our online exclusive articles as well as our print edition straight to your door.